Microphone Chizizek. Welcome to another Journey podcast. Podcast about, well, pretty much anything. Just a bunch of random shit, really. But fuck it. Well, let's see. Okay, so today, I'm going to bring you a short UFO report, I guess. I'll do that at the end of the, or when I'm done talking here. But I guess first I want to start out with, I don't know. There's a lot of things. I follow so many different things, so many people. I read a lot. I watch a lot of YouTube and Rumble, especially Rumble now, videos. And so I got all this information in my head, and it's hard to sort it out. And I guess one thing I wanted to talk about, I don't know if you know what a dolmen is. The dolmen is basically a man-made house of stone. It's a structure built where using megalithic stones to stack on one another. In like kind of the form of a shape of a house or a cave or something. It's what they theorize cavemen. What a joke, right? Cavemen. But what cavemen built to live in. Kind of like the Flintstones. I guess that would be a dolmen house, is a Flintstone house. But they're all around the world. And there's a lot of them, and I mean a lot of them, and they're just not publicized. And there's like in Russia, there's real gigantic ones, but there, it's kind of like Stonehenge in a way, but on a smaller scale, where, you know, there's four walls and a roof. And then maybe a couple smaller little stones for like doorways and stuff like that. And that's basically a dolmen. So just to give you a brief description on dolmen. They're all over the world though. They're everywhere. And that just makes me think. And oh yeah, and I think in English, or in England, or the UK, or Europe, or wherever, they're called trilithons, or something like that. I saw that name somewhere. But it makes me think of how these structures got built. How did they get built? Well, there's a lot of theories. You know, one is that they were just a lot of hard work, a lot of labor, a lot of, you know, backbone into it. But some of these stones seem impossible to be able to move, even with a lot of people. And for a small little cave for maybe, you know, let's say 10 or 20 people to fit in, why would one just be built out in the middle of nowhere? That would only fit maybe, you know, 10 people comfortably. And then, but use thousands and thousands and thousands of labor, of people, you know, and animals and horses to be able to move these gigantic stones. I mean, these stones are in the, you know, hundreds if not thousands of tons of stone, some of them. And then they have to stack them side by side and then get the top on and make sure they're all standing up properly and aligned right. And it's, you know, it's one of those questions that doesn't make sense, or one of those answers that doesn't make sense. But that's what the historians say, and a lot of them say, well, we really just don't know. And it's true, we don't know. Another theory is giants. I love that theory of giants. You know, the problem I have with giants is that not a lot of bones have been found of giants. Now, some have been found. There's actually even some videos out there of giants, and there's even, you know, like recorded history of bones of giants. And I guess you can even say giants are around today, whereas if you look at like NBA players and people like that, but I don't even think people of that size, like NBA size, 7 feet tall or 6 foot five or even or taller, would be able to build these things without a lot of help. So there's that. But then there's actual giants, and there's like a recorded, I think I talked about it a few shows ago, of a the Afghanistan giant, where in the military in Afghanistan back in like, I don't know, 2004, 2003, something like that, the soldiers had a confrontation with a giant at a cave, and this giant was apparently over 10 feet tall and kind of was dressed and acted like a traditional caveman, you know, kind of like wore skins as clothes and walked around with like a weapon that resembled like a blunt weapon, like a blunt object, like a giant stick or something. And it makes sense. And then when you think about these giant megalithic structures, it makes sense that maybe there were help from gigantic humans. But it doesn't make sense that there were lots of them, because just not the evidence doesn't show that they're there. A lot of them, I mean. You know, there's evidence of them being here, just not many. And there's Bigfoot, of course, but that is still up in the air as far as Bigfoot goes. I mean, I think Bigfoot's real. It's just, what is Bigfoot and what is real when, you know, because a lot of people think Bigfoot's an alien or interdimensional or, you know, who knows. I won't go there, but that's another one. Another theory is, you know, outside help from aliens. And that could be, that's a very interesting topic or discussion there, where there was help. And that makes sense as far as, you know, the theories of kind of how a lot of the megalithic structures, not just dolmens, but let's say pyramids, or let's say Machu Picchu, or these just where these gigantic stones were used to build these gigantic structures, these mega structures. Hundreds or thousands of feet tall, or hundreds of feet tall, I shouldn't say thousands, but I think the pyramids are around 300 or so feet is the tallest one, something like that, a little over 300 if I remember correctly. But that's a fun one to think about, you know, that aliens they're helping space travelers, you know, coming down with their ships and moving these and giant stones and like magic. That one I lean a little towards. You know, like the giants, let's say, you know, it's hard for me to believe that one. It's just a cool, fun one to think about. aliens. I do believe they're out there. I do believe they walk among us. It's just whether or not they helped, or whether or not they were here then, which the evidence shows that they were. But if they did, you know, then it kind of, you can go down the rabbit hole real quick with that, you know, how they did it, why they did it. Are they still here? You know, who are they? What are they? Are they us? Are they not us? Are they from the future? You know, are they from another dimension? Were they always here? You know, there's so many questions with aliens. But it's a fun one to theorize on. The one I lean towards most that I believe really is what happened, and that is that there was ancient humans, relatively the same size as us, you know, more or less, not gigantic, but there's, you know, like us, you know, there were probably 7 feet tall humans, and there were probably real short people around. And it was a high technology civilization that was here before us. And they had superior technology to what we have today. We just have been led to believe that our technology is the top of the, you know, that's ever been here on the planet. But we don't know that. The evidence shows that there is a civilization that has come and gone, and there's no or very little documentation to show it, you know, with the exception of hieroglyphs and then, of course, the structures that are built all around. But other than that, there's really not a lot of evidence that they were an ancient civilization or what they were. You know, there's a lot of evidence that there was one. There's not a lot of what they were, who they were, how they did it, especially how they did it, their technology they had. But I think there's a lot to do with maybe the Earth today and maybe what it was back then. Like, the theory is that the pole shifted, maybe from a pyramid exploding, because pyramids were used as power sources, or maybe because a comet or some kind of giant, whatever giant asteroid or something from space came and slammed into the planet and knocked it off axis, knocked it off its tilt. Or, I mean, there's a lot, you know, there could be a million reasons why it's off of its tilt, why it's not perfect up and down, you know, why we kind of wobble and we're at an angle of the planet. But maybe when it was straight up and down, the technology, maybe there was some kind of different technology that was able to be used and kind of created because of maybe how the Earth rotated back then. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing things out there. But I like that. I like that there was an ancient civilization here before us, that we didn't come stumbling out of caves 10,000 years ago, like the historians say, and that, in fact, humans have been around on this planet for a lot longer than we have any idea of. You know, we have really no idea, because they didn't leave a computer or a map or a book or anything that really told what they were. But they did leave us these giant megalithic structures. Göbekli Tepe is one. The Sphinx is one. The pyramids are obviously one, and so on, and Machu Picchu, and there's just so many. And then there's evidence, like in Tanis in Egypt, of something happening where there's these giant, like, you you know, just these, like, statues and just these, I mean, and stones and all that, that, like, something happened where they were destroyed or blown up or melted or, you know, there's all this evidence that something happened. Some people say solar flares, which, I don't know, I guess that could be an option too. Solar flares hit the planet, melted the ice caps and wreaked a lot of havoc on the Earth, causing some crazy pole shift, and who knows. And the pole, you know, it, like I said, it, the evidence shows that the pole has shifted and is still moving. I think it moves at a rate, oh, I wish I should have been more prepared, but I think it's around, oh, several miles or something every year, or kilometers, that the pole shifts at. But who knows? You know, we really don't know. We can only theorize. But it is fun to theorize. It is fun to think about this stuff. What if there were ancient humans? What if they had some kind of super technology that allowed them to maybe levitate rocks or giant stones and build things with, you know, some kind of tools that perhaps have never even been thought of to build these things. I mean, how do you get the perfect angles and the, how do you move these things? And, you know, these small little caves, but there's these giant things that, you know, are way back in. And then how do they build these giant caves or underground subterranean systems that are underneath Egypt and Turkey and France and everywhere? There's caverns everywhere, and they were built. And so there's so much stuff out there. We got to question it. I think the world's eyes are beginning to open a lot more. People are starting to realize that we've been lied to and that the truth is out there. And one day, maybe, hopefully, we get an answer or a hint or a piece of the puzzle. Something that says, oh, now that does make sense. Or, you know, whatever. Just something that proves it, you know. So, yeah, and like Edward Leeds Scanlon is another guy. Coral Castle is what he built. And this is in modern times. He's passed away now, but, you know, relatively modern times, you know, in the 90s or 1990s or 80s or 70s or something, or I don't know when, but he built this thing called the Coral Castle in Florida, and it's a kind of like a megalithic structure, and he's this little, small, skinny guy, and he built it all by himself. Nobody knows how. He would never tell anybody. And he used Nikola Tesla's quotes and theories as his sort of hint at this is how I did it. And he didn't really tell anybody, but they did find like something like a gyro or something they found in his property after he passed away at this castle. Real interesting story. It's too long for me to tell right now, but he built this giant castle all by himself. Have the giant stones, had a giant door that was perfectly balanced. Nobody can figure out how he did it. And when the door came off or something, they could never get it back on properly, which is kind of unusual. So this guy did this all by himself and never revealed the secret. So there is even modern evidence of somehow this ability of humans have to overcome these problems that are stare right at us. And I think a lot of it is our minds, and we gotta kind of have the right thinking when we look at something, instead of looking at something as difficult or hard or tough or, you know, or impossible, we gotta look at it in a different light. And that is that we can do it, that we can do something, that this is possible, that this has been done and we can do it again. That, you know, don't go looking at even little things around your life, you know, like your car breaks down or something, and you look at it like, oh no, what am I gonna do, or this is tough. If you have that attitude, then things are gonna be difficult for you in life. But if you have the attitude of, all right, I can do this, I can fix this, I'll figure it out, you know, just that positive attitude. I mean, it's a, you know, it's been beat to death, everybody knows about it. But it's actually doing it and getting that negativity out of your life and that negative attitude. And I think that when more and more people start opening their eyes and turning their lives into that direction and looking at nothing as impossible and that anything is possible, then, just then, we'll have a chance at figuring the rest of this stuff out. At least, that's what I think. I'll be right back with my UFO report. That'll do it for that topic. Well, you hear my promotions once in a while for YBC Wax. He is opening, he's a hip hop artist, if you did not know that, because I promote his YouTube gaming channel. But he's also an artist, and he's opening for King Iso from Strange Music in Denver, Colorado on June 3rd. So if you want to go see him, other artists will be there like C-Mob, Table of the Truth, and more. And tickets are only $20, so pretty reasonable. So if you want to get a hold of YBC Wax, you can. He's got Instagram, he's got Facebook, TikTok, all the channel, all the social media, so you can find him anywhere, or just get a hold of me and I'll put you in touch with him. That will be June 3rd at the Roxy in Denver. And if you're not sure if that name sounds familiar, who he's opening for, which is King Iso of Strange Music. King Iso is a member of Tech N9ne. So if you've heard of Tech N9ne, then that's where you've heard that name before. So yeah, so you can check him out or get a hold of me, and I'll put you in touch to get tickets. Thanks. Welcome back. I'm back. So this is my UFO report, for tonight. Oh, what is today? May 13th, 2022. That would be Friday. And, before I get into the report, one more thing I just wanted to bring up that I meant to mention is that anti-gravity devices. I mean, are they real? I think they're real, right? I mean, how do UFOs propel themselves? Well, maybe that's the technology we're all seeking that could have possibly built these structures and helped shape these structures. And, you know, it's gravity. Everything's about gravity, right? The universe is kind of a giant force that allows gravity as a natural occurrence. I mean, who knows? But I just wanted to bring that up and to mention that. All right. Well, my first UFO sighting comes out of Skinwalker Ranch. Yeah, season 2, episode 2. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it yet. I'll give you a second here to skip ahead. All right. So, they had a UFO sighting. So, what happened is UAPX, the guy, I think it's a Tic Tac incident back in 2003 or 4, where they saw that Tic Tac sighting. Well, there's one of the guys, I don't know, like one of the control room guys looking at computer screens or whatever, who saw the TikTok works for you or has is with this company UAPX. And then there's another guy, I think, I'm not sure if they're both from that same incident, but there's another guy, two guys. They have a truck that's supposed to, you know, any UFO in that sighting that occurs, this truck is supposed to record all this special fancy data. Well, so the boys at Skinwalker decided to shoot off some rockets in their little triangle to maybe possibly get a sighting out of it, because I guess that's how they got a UFO sighting before, was shooting rockets. And they did. And they shot some rockets. And they did get a sighting. And the truck broke down. The truck that was supposed to measure all the data from the sighting broke down. But what they saw was an orb, a white orb. They got it on camera. From their description, it was really bright. It was in the daylight, so it was hard to tell if it was how bright it was, but it definitely was bright. It was white. It was round. It was an orb, and then it went away. So I would call that a definite sighting, UFO sighting, without a doubt. However, as far as the truck goes and it breaking down, and I don't know, things, History Channel creates drama in a lot of their shows. I don't think those guys don't seem that nefarious to do that, like to shut down their own truck from UAPX. So I would not think that they would, but you don't know, you know, on these shows. And it is Skinwalker Ranch after all, so, and there's always been weird shit going on there, and they've always had issues with equipment, electronic equipment, and so it's possible, probably, and it probably did really happen that the truck just broke down, and it had all this equipment, high-tech equipment in it, so it's possible that it just wasn't ready yet, you know. But who knows? But anyway, it was pretty cool. It is a good show. I do recommend it, even though it's a little, I don't like to use these words that people use to describe shows that they don't like. Because I like the show. I think it's a good show. I think it's well done. I think it's produced well. It is Skinwalker Ranch. I like Brandon Fugel a lot. I like all the guys in the show. I think they're smart people. I guess the word I'm looking for is made for TV. As not to talk bad about it. But it seems a little made for TV. And therefore, who knows? But I don't think anything nefarious happened there. I think it really was what they say it is. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of people disagree with me on that because of how the show is kind of set up. And it is a History Channel show. But I think History Channel does, I think they're a great channel. I really do. I think they put out a lot of great information. It's just a little too good. yeah, but anyway, back to that. Let's not discuss politics. Let's look at the good side of things. And there was a UFO sighting on the Skinwalker Ranch, season 2, episode 2. All right, so my next sighting, it occurred on September 3rd of 2021 over Mesa, Arizona. And I've done so many UFO sightings, and I don't have a good spreadsheet file, I guess you can say, on what I've done and haven't done, or what I've talked about and haven't talked about. So if I've talked about this before, I apologize. I just don't remember if I did. But in September 3rd, 2021, three orbs were kind of hovering in Mesa, Arizona. And they rotate kind of in a triangular formation. And then they were joined by a fourth one. It's really interesting. You see these lights kind of just in the sky there. in a triangular formation. And then you see kind of a fourth one appear, make an appearance, and then they go bye-bye into the clouds. So pretty interesting, pretty cool, pretty good one. I'll put a link to this one on my website, and you can check it out and see it for yourself. But yeah. It's four orbs or UFOs. You can't really tell what they are. They appear to be orbs, but they're just really bright white lights. Just hovering in the sky and then gone. So, or one of them's gone anyway. One goes, and it's really interesting, and I think it's legitimate. So, if you want to check it out, my website, ufo.fish. F-I-S-H. All right, so my next sighting, and actually before I get into that sighting, I want to just briefly mention all the drama on UFO Twitter, and that I am not going to talk about it. That's all there is to it. It's just drama. It's just BS. It's just... I think someone said something like they're fighting over who's going to be captain of the ship. And then when disclosure happens, it's all going to, be laughed at or something. I can't remember the quote, but, and there is a point or there is a, I agree that there's too much bickering and arguing on this Twitter and people, especially over Lou Elizondo. And I don't know. He did his part. I give him respect for that, especially as part of ATIP and all that. But then everything else that happened post all the original sightings, he got released. Then, just murky waters as far as he goes. And then people are like falling into his, I don't know. I can't say spell, but they're just, I don't know if he has anything or not, if Lou Elizondo has stuff he's saving, he might, but I don't know, you think he would have put it out by now if he did have something, but maybe he does, who knows, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and I don't know, it's, if disclosure ever does occur, I think UFO Twitter will change dramatically. And I think it might even split apart further than it already is. Because there's going to be those people who say, I told you so. And then there's going to be the people who say, wow, crazy, cool, wow, what do we do next? And then there's going to be the people who are be like, oh, it's all, people are still wanting to believe it, even if disclosure occurs. So it's just going to separate into bigger, wider groups, and unfortunately, but that's just how human species is right now. And I hope through this mess, out comes somebody to kind of take the reins and lead. And the lead in this. And that someone who can be trusted, who is right for the job, who's intelligent, and who doesn't mislead people. But anyway, I'm just saying, I don't like the drama. I don't really like to follow it even. It's there and it's unavoidable if you're on UFO Twitter. always in my page, somebody always talking about Lou Elizondo or Greenwald, John Greenwald, Black Ball Files, or other UFO podcasts and stuff like that. Always some kind of bickering. And then there's always the other side of that where people are taking sides. So I am not on anybody's side. If you give good information, great. You're awesome. And if you don't have any information, then you just don't have it. And so it doesn't make a difference to me whether you have released it or if you say you have something. If you say you have something, but it's not out, then as far as I'm concerned, you don't have it. And I'll leave it at that. All right. So for my next sighting, I have an airplane from Boston to Florida in 2019, September 6th. There was a Tic Tac. Speaking of Tic Tacs, a Tic Tac was recorded outside someone's window. It's a small white object, clear as day, outside this airplane window. It's kind of small, so it's pretty far away. And depending on the size of the object, but it has a Tic Tac shape when they zoom in on it. So it's pretty neat, pretty interesting. And I like this one. It's a good one. It's unfortunately, I don't know what's up with cameras today, but it says HD on your iPhone, but it's HD for, 100 feet or so. And then it just turns to crap. This is obvious a UFO. It's obvious it's something interesting. Someone saw and caught it on video. Because there's zoom in, there's kind of like angle changes a little bit. So it's not like a reflection or anything, because that happens a lot in airplanes or people just record reflections in their ceiling lights or ceiling fans, and it looks like a UFO and stuff like that. Weird stuff people try to do to mislead or misinformation, try to whatever, screw with people. And so you got to kind of sort through those, but this one seems like a legitimate one to me. I like it. I'll put a link to it on my website, ufo.fish. Okay, so for the final UFO sighting and the end of the show, is from the International Space Station on May 6th. A UFO fleet, or fleet of them, was caught on video on the live feed on the International Space Station. And this one has made the rounds. Lots of people have seen this, talked about it. I've seen it. Lots of places. I'll put a link to one of them I found. And what it is there's a camera recording space and in a formation about, I don't know, 25, 30 objects come floating right by the space station. And behind those objects, there's more objects. So who knows, there's a lot in this footage. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of theories on it. I mean, some of it could be debris. Some of it could be other things. Who knows? Could be Starlink satellites and then maybe some UFOs mixed in with it. Who knows? Who really knows? Nobody really knows. I don't even think NASA knows much more than we do. I think everybody's scratching their heads. But yeah, I'll put a link to it. You can check it out from the space station. It's a pretty good one, pretty cool. There's at least 3 or 4 UFOs, I would say, in that space station one. And then there's a big old fleet of something in formation, and who knows what that is. Who knows? It might be space parts. I don't know. Maybe I haven't done too much research on this, and so I'm not sure if those things have been accounted for or not. But there definitely are some other objects within those objects that you see. All right, well, that'll do it for tonight. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. I do. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Whoever listens, it means a lot to me that at least some people are interested in what I have to say. So thank you. Please go to my website, check it out, ufo.fish. Get a hold of me on Twitter at UFO UAP Sighting if you want to contact me, and or you have any ideas, or hell, if you want to come on the show, I'll talk to anybody, really. So have a great night, great weekend, great day, great life. Always from me with love. Appreciate you listening, and I'll be back soon with love. All right, so just a quick announcement. My stepson, YBC Wax Gaming, he just made an announcement that he's going to be posting a new video on his YouTube channel every Friday. So once a week, he'll be posting a new gaming video. He is very entertaining, very funny. It's YBC, your boy Chance. So YBC Wax, WAX Gaming. And you can find his channel on YouTube. So please check him out if you're into gaming, and or if you're into funny. Either way, you know, or both, you know, you'll get a kick out of his channel. Thanks.